Welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, a podcast about getting local Kansas City artists on the couch to chat. Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And this is our official second year of starting our podcast.
Is this like season two?
This is season two of Couch Chats.
Oh, I should reword the way that I load them onto the iTunes.
How
season
like
two, episode one.
Ooh. Da, da, da. So today on the couch we have Courtney and myself.
That's right. That's right.
We kind of just wanted to talk to you all and kind of refresh and get to know each other.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been an interesting past year since we started this podcast.
It has been.
What do you kind of think that like you really learned from the beginning?
Well, you know, one, hopefully I have learned how to edit a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's accurate. I still get a lot of, hey, the sound could be better on XYZ. But we have, in fact, changed studios like four times.
This is the room that we are in now, I believe, is the fourth room.
It is the fourth incarnation. So getting the sound right in all of the rooms has been, for someone who does not really understand sound, tricky at best. But I think we're here now in this room for, for the duration. So we can do some things to this room to make it less pingy. Perhaps not with carpet tape, which is what we tried before.
But this is our room, babe.
This is our room now. So, maybe we'll just, drape the ceilings in flowy fabric. Maybe some, Christmas lights. I don't know. We'll make it into a real dorm room.
That's exactly what this might be.
Yeah, that's what it feels like. We've got, like the dorm room couch, and, so then we just need, maybe a tapestry, perhaps.
Sure. We have an artist in the building who might be able to make us
that's
one.
That's true, we do. Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Javier.
Hey, Javier.
So, yeah, so within the last year, if all of you guys are just tuning in for the first time, we invite our local Kansas City artist on the couch to get to know them and sort of allow for you all, the listeners, to get an insight on perhaps some people in Kansas City whom you've maybe heard of, or you know but don't really know maybe what their favorite color is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And throughout that, through the last year, we've sort of really gotten to know some really fun facts about people that even you and I feel like are our best friends.
Right, yeah. No, for sure. I mean, there's definitely answers that we have gotten on the couch that I would have never guessed out of somebody that I talk to on the regular. That I would have never... honestly, some answers to some questions that I didn't know about you, and that feels unreal to think that, almost a decade in, there are still things I don't know about you.
Right. Do you feel more comfortable talking on the microphone and podcast now than you were a year ago?
Yeah, I think if we threw a camera in here, I'd be like, oh God, what are we doing? But it's this, it's a lovely thing to shut the door and just be like, we're just talking and there happens to be a microphone in the room that is picking me up. And
it is still strange whenever we go out into the public and people maybe recognize us.
Right.
And I'm always like, I'm just like, I can't believe you heard that conversation. What do you
or
mean?
When they talk to us about things that we hear, I've done that to people that we have friends, Kate and Jill, who have a podcast, and that I would be like, oh my God, I listened this week, and then this thing that you talked about happened, and I'm talking to you about it, and how surreal that must have felt, because people now will engage in a conversation that I'm like, did I talk to you about that? And I'm like, oh shit, that went on air.
Yeah, how do you know that?
People heard that conversation. Yeah. And that is very weird. Or recently I was asked to do the thumb, which I didn't realize would become a signature thing that I've done.
I think we just posed.
I think we did it once, and then I just kept doing it, because in our early pictures, it's not there.
Well, they were really bad selfies in the beginning.
They were, yeah. Like, the lighting in the very first studio was wretched.
It's kind of fun to see those photos popping up on social media right now.
Because we've been doing this a year now, so we actually get the reviews now.
Because a year ago this week, it was Vita Vicalis, who is the president of the Barn Players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I didn't have the thumb in that picture.
No.
So it must have been, I don't know, I'll have to go back and look at our Instagram, which you should check out, at Couch Chats, and see when it started. Because it's definitely become a thing. But maybe I'll change it up now that we're in season two. Season two will be a whole new thumb.
Well, I just, I thought about that, Courtney, and then I realized there might be people sad that they're not...
That they don't get the thumb.
That they don't get the thumb and the point.
That's even weirder.
So I'm going to compare us to the Magic Kingdom in Disney World.
Okay, we can't change a thing.
Mm-mm.
Except for maybe the sound quality.
At the 25th anniversary, they changed the Magic Kingdom castle into a cake. Mm-mm. And people were livid.
Really?
Livid.
Interesting.
And here's why. I mean, it makes the absolute perfect sense.
Right.
You've waited and saved your entire life to take that photo in mm-hmm. front of Cinderella's castle, mm-hmm. and
you don't get to do it.
And it's a birthday cake.
Right, because not everyone goes 19 times like you have.
Correct.
So people who were there for their first time aren't seeing Cinderella's castle. Is that the deal? Like,
right, yeah. Okay. And the idea was, is that, particularly Disneyland, well, all of the Disneys, is the idea that you can come there at 5, 15, 20, and 50, mm-hmm. and 100, and you can have particularly the exact same experiences.
Okay.
And we sort of talked about that, because Courtney and I and her family are going to Walt Disney World in October of this year.
We are.
And we've sort of been talking about how I'm really looking forward to being with people who are going to see it for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and also... realizing that now you might have multiple Disney vacations in your life, and how, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, running that possibility that the next time you go, you then will begin to become
we'll have a thing that I'm going
to
go do.
That you're like, I have to go do this. Like, me and my mom and my dad have to go to this boutique and get pixie dust put on us the first time that we walk in.
Right.
My husband is like, I'm good.
Stay away from me with that glitter.
You can keep that pixie dust away. But yeah, so I'm super, super excited to be able to experience Walt Disney World.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
With you. So what I was going to say, though, is that luckily in 2019, we have these things in technology and map. It's called projection mapping, mm-hmm. where you can...
Right, where they can make it a cake.
They now, as you see with the show, can make it a cake.
Right.
And they can make it whatever they want.
Yeah.
And so that, I think, was the coolest and best solution for... doing that, mm-hmm. because there's also mm-hmm. that interesting sort of marketing ploy that I think Walt Disney World has to do as well, because I've been 19 times.
Right.
So, like, also, how are you going to want me to come back?
Right.
Nostalgia only runs for so long.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, you have to keep changing with the times, but be able to make it nostalgic for the people who have been there. And maybe for the people who have been there, like for instance, Alex went as a child, but hasn't been again till we go this year. So what he may recognize, but then also, like, you know, everything's always different when you're looking at it through children's eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's similar to what we do when we take our scholars to shows. I see shows, you know, all the live long day. But the reality of the situation is, you know, watching them see a show for the first time
right.
is like, oh, it's a totally different experience.
Wasn't
you know?
That at Sweeney Todd? When
at Sweeney,
we went there?
Because I'm like, I've seen the Broadway tour, you know,
yeah.
I've seen this show in
I've seen
so
it
many...
on Broadway.
Right, in incarnations, but they've not only have they not seen it, have they maybe, and some of those scholars maybe hadn't ever seen a show, but then they hadn't seen that version in mm-hmm. that way, and they don't know the story, you know, and you're just like, okay, well.
I love that.
And Dean Barber, he's interesting all the time.
It makes me sort of have to remember to, like, be the first time
mm-hmm.
again.
Mm-hmm.
I live in a theater every day now.
Right.
It doesn't shock me. But it is the cool thing to be able to sort of pass that down to the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Over this past weekend, mm-hmm. Courtney and myself, I felt like I saw you all the time. Did I just see you on... No, I saw you Saturday and Sunday.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, we had a long day Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. This past week, I became less of a person in our state of Missouri.
In the state of Missouri, where we are podcasting from, over the last week, this abortion bill has been funneling through, and
mm-hmm.
so that was an interesting kind of few days of watching many of my friends and supporters sort of lose their identity.
Yeah. It's for lack of wishing to be tearful and or too political. It's been a rough couple of weeks in the Senate and House here in Missouri. And so, you know, this last weekend we got together with 4,500 of our closest friends and told Jeff City to, quite frankly, fuck off.
And then I think Jeff City kind of fucked off last night, right?
They did. They, yes. Yeah. And I don't, I doubt that that was too targeted, because I don't want to go to the same place that these people are going from, where, you know, the wrath of Mother Nature may have proved us correct. But, you know, Mother Nature is a woman. Let's be real.
And it she's is Mother Nature. Too. Yeah. By the way, save the planet.
Right. Also that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. We're, yeah, we're, what is it? Bill Nye has said, if we don't, you know, we have 9 years or 7 years to fix our, you know, carbon emissions before it's irreversible. So also that, which somehow neither of these things in my head are in fact political, but I know that they are for a lot of people. So if you're those listeners,
Well, the thing is that the Couch Chats takes place inside of the Arts Asylum, which is a visual and performing arts space that has the tagline, a safe place to create. Mm-hmm. And sort of that idea that I think that we don't sort of talk about ways to make people feel safe, I think would be wrong for our podcast.
Yes.
But I don't want to be political, because we have all sorts of people around it. But I do believe that the thing that you and I preach the most at the end of the day is just equal and human rights.
Safety, love, inclusion, and everything that comes with them. You know,
and that unfortunately falls under a lot of different parts of the spectrum. You shared a thing about the United Methodist Church, you know, yesterday. So, I mean, we are in an age where I try to not feel targeted, and I'm sure you don't try to feel targeted, but there are times that you just sort of wake up and everywhere you look seems like it's about you.
Yep.
So we're learning how to exist in 2019. We're almost halfway through this year. I think everyone that I know is sort of waking up, and maybe from the 2016 haze, and they're starting to say, okay, well, what do we want to do? What changes do we want? And what do we want to keep around? Because there's a lot of people out there that think good things are happening too. And so...
Absolutely. There are plenty of those. On the same day that the state of Missouri made their... what I believe is a mistake. The federal government made a good move with the Equality Act being passed, and I think that that's fantastic. You know, there are always beautiful things in all kinds of situations, and not, you know, don't dwell on the bad things. Just keep fighting.
Yeah, and stay. Stay informed. That is what.
And you can start that at the very local level, if that, you know, last Friday showed us nothing. Our local elections are on June 18th. Please go vote. Today is the last day to register if you have not done that. And, you know, local government matters too, not just the glamour of the presidential election.
After going to Jefferson City, with you and our executive director, Evie, I think that was probably, about a month ago or so? Time goes so quickly into the future. Someone should write lyrics that say that. But yeah, I really sort of saw how that sausage was starting to get made when I was up there. And I realized how important it is to scream, to yell, and to contact your people, because those are our representatives. And I feel all of the ones that I sort of interacted with that day were speaking on behalf of their constituents.
Absolutely.
So even if I disagreed with it, which has always also been the devil's advocacy part of my head, listen, I'm okay with a majority, but please show us the majority. If you go out and vote for something and only 5,000 people in the entire city vote, I don't think that's the representation.
No. Well, and, you know, where
your vote does matter, people.
Your vote does matter, and, you know, and thank God for... Greg Razor, Ingrid Burnett, and Judy Morgan, who I think were in fact representing, those are the three districts I have the most things to do with, either my business or my home or my husband's business, and they were fighting hard. They did what they could on Friday. And, you know, we haven't been officially signed into law yet.
And we're talking and we're screaming and we're... You know, are they counting vetoes? Is that what
they
you
are
said?
Counting vetoes? So, actually, I'll post a link on my personal page, and when we share this photo, I can post a link. If you know, are against abortion bans, please feel free to sign up and tell our governor Mike Parsons what your opinion is, because they are in fact continuing to count vetoes, which I appreciate. I mean, at least we know that Parsons in fact has stood up and said, you know, that this is his, you know, pride and joy in this moment. So if he is counting and listening to his state, hopefully
that's his job.
It is his job.
I mean, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I know, again, without, we should veer here soon, you know, from the political side. But I mean, that has always sort of been my thing with, like, the current president, too. Like, you have a job that you need to be doing.
Yes, and he is not doing his job. No. Really. He's not.
I was watching Kamala Harris, I think, on Colbert last night. And she had a very interesting sort of conversation. So without giving that into that, if you are interested in maybe what people in the federal government are sort of talking about right now, go take a listen to Kamala on Colbert last night. And she was speaking very truthfully about this process and why we, you know, have to stay vigilant in in making sure that democracy holds up, even if it doesn't go our way.
Our way, absolutely. Because what's happening right now is unprecedented and insane. And by unprecedented, I mean reminiscent of Hitler, but beyond that point. You know, I mean, it's absolutely insane.
That is what our three branches of checks and balances government right now are trying to uphold, I believe, is that it's for the people, but if you are bypassing those...
Right, yeah.
If you are bypassing the people, the people, you are no longer doing your job.
And that's the reality of the situation is, you know, in any situation, if this were, and I do firmly believe that if this were, you know, a Democratic president using this to, quote-unquote, his or her advantage in some way, shape, or form, I would be speaking as diligently about it.
Right.
You know, what is happening right now is undermining the entire basis of our government system, and it is not just because I can't stand that dude, because that's also true, but in the same breath, I am someone who believes that we have not a system that is broken, but institutions which have broken the people who run our systems, and you know, the system set up in its entirety does in fact work. But we have so many broken citizens for so many different reasons that are institutional and instinctual for so many people. The systematic racism and sexism and ageism and all of those things that have broken basically everyone but white men, white cisgendered straight white men are, you know, have always been at the top, and they're loosening. They're losing their grip, not loosening, they're tightening their grip, but they're losing it very quickly, and they realize it and are trying to hold on to what they know. And I don't know that I can blame them for trying to hang on to what they know. It's just that what they know is wrong.
Well, yeah.
And it's unfortunate to try and keep a level of control in a system that wasn't designed for that.
Well, it's a living document.
Right.
We are, and that's the other thing that sometimes it works in my favor and sometimes it doesn't, living document. But that is why I still feel very lucky to live in the United States of America, even if it is chaotic right now, is I'm allowed to speak on a podcast about how I disagree with or agree with what's happening in my country. Mm-hmm. And that does not go without, like, attention for me. I do understand that I am not now going to be beheaded just because I'm just like, I don't like what's happening in our government right now.
Yeah.
So then Sunday night after that walk, we watched the season finale of Game of Thrones.
We did.
You know, hashtag no spoilers, but, it's done, it's wrapped up, and it sort of felt reminiscent of me, the final 4.5 seconds of The Truman Show after that movie gets done, and then the last line of that movie, I believe, is, let's see what's on next, because Game of Thrones is done, and now people, you don't realize sometimes whenever you have these shows, I mean, I'm not speaking like the first time, but like, but once it's done, I don't know what I'm going to do at 8 o'clock on Sunday nights.
I don't know either. I saw, like, a funny cartoon that was, like, everybody, like, the people dressed up, you know, in full Game of Thrones gear, which we did not do. We just had a nice charcuterie.
I would say an exceptional charcuterie.
And they were like, well, I guess we're going to have to talk to each other now, you know? Yeah. And it's funny because you get to that place where you're like, oh my God, what are we going to do at 8 o'clock on Sunday? But the reality is we waited for almost 2 years and have only been doing that for 6 weeks. So what were we doing 6 weeks ago on Sunday? Because it seems fine. Were you recapping?
So, well, I think some people took the last sort of couple of, 18 months or whatever and really tried to, like, rewatch it. Matt and I started rewatching certain sections of it. And I will say, again, hashtag no spoilers, it is there in the first episode.
All the information is in the first episode.
It's there.
The people who, like, we talked that there's a woman that we know is a really strong word, but that we interact with at the downtown market where we go every day for coffee, who binge watch the entirety of everything
in
2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, 2 weeks is a lot. That is a lot of information. Because, you know, there are shows that you have.
Look up how many episodes.
I think this was the 73rd episode.
Well, right.
So 73 hours, or a little bit long, 80 hours, let's just say, 80 hours. So, you know, in 2 weeks, that's what you would do if you had a 40-hour week job, I guess.
Yeah.
I know, I wish I had that kind of free time. I do not. And I don't think I have that kind of mental space either, because that is such an epic
show.
But
then we sort of talked about that. I wonder how different it must feel to binge watch it.
Sure.
Because there are like memes and like things about like season 5 that I'm like, I have no idea what
no
you're talking
recollection
about. Like there are like characters, because I was reading this BuzzFeed article last night about like all of the major plot lines and characters that they didn't tie up.
Oh, sure.
And just throughout it, you know, they're just kind of like, well, that person that like literally had 6 episodes in a season and
right. And they're just gone.
We are to assume they are just...
They're fine.
Fine.
They're fine.
Do they have an opinion?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I was reading a thing this morning about George Martin, you know, saying because he still has 2 books to finish.
Yes.
Is one going to influence the other? And he was saying that, you know, you have to remember that there are characters that never made it into the show, but that are in the books. And then vice versa, people who died in the show and are still alive in the books.
Right.
Because that's, you know, they had to surpass where he had written. And he was one of the writers on the show, so it's not as if it didn't have his eye on it still. But it's interesting to like, think about reading the books. That is, again, a thing I don't think I have the mental space for, because those books are, like, books.
Well, I don't know if I, even though I'm someone who is satisfied with ending, you are someone who is...
I'm not unsatisfied.
But you were left... feeling,
I was underwhelmed.
Yes. I still don't think I would go back and rewatch all 8 seasons. Not because, but just because it's I hate this word, but an epic undertaking.
It is an epic undertaking. And it's one of those where, you know, I will say that I'm satisfied enough that I don't feel the need. I was not left wanting more, which I think maybe is what people expected. You know, I think there's a prequel that's coming out, I believe.
Well, there's 2 spinoffs, right, that are still potential. Matt, you know, again, hashtag husband, sorry if I'm fake newsing you, but I think he told me that when the show started, there was 3, and now we still have 2.
2 spinoffs, yeah. Okay. So I don't have any interest in those, and I think maybe that's the underwhelmed factor. I think that everything wrapped up with a, you know, maybe not the prettiest of bows. It's like a brown
but
paper package
like
with like a twine bow. It's a very realistic bow. And, you know, the reality of the situation is I think that that is what the show did, was be pretty realistic through the whole thing. I mean, realistic as much as you can while
with
riding
dragons.
A dragon.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't think that it was there for the fans. I think it was there to tell a story. I think the fans definitely, you know, made it into the...
And
you know,
what a cult... And, you know, people have all of these great opinions or whatever, and I just love being on social media right afterward when everyone's so passionate about imaginary characters.
Right, and imaginary characters who are riding dragons.
Yeah.
Like,
there's just like this, it's almost happiness that, you know, for about 6 weeks, that was the drama I had to deal with.
Yes.
Is people talking about this fantastical show, which art brings people together. You know, don't forget that this is a book and a television show. This is theater.
Right,
this is
absolutely.
Art. And I love sort of those sort of cultural phenomenons that bring people together in this sort of grand way, because everyone was talking about it. Even if you were talking about how you had never seen the show.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But Game of Thrones was on, and everywhere I turned, like,
yeah,
tons.
Everywhere.
It was great.
Yeah, it's true. But, like, when, you know, when, like, Breaking Bad ended, I was like, I would take another 8 seasons of that without question. Like,
well, because I think Breaking Bad is a pretty perfect show.
It is the most perfect. Like, I remember when that show
I would rewatch that show.
That I looked at Alex and was like, I have no idea how other TV will ever be the same. Like, you know, like, there are shows that come to an end and you're just like, oh, that was really great. Or it had, you know, this, I mean, like I was a huge Friends watcher. And although I had issues with the way that that show ended, not for any other reason than just I don't think they did adoption justice, but that's a whole other, you know, it's all like a whole other very personal specific thing. But yeah, it was just I think that was it. It was great, yeah. But it was, you know, it was fun to watch. It was a lovely, you know, six episodes of finale. It was a nice little wrap up. I don't know that I'll really miss it that much. I don't know, because I hadn't had it for so long. It feels like such a little blip of, like, 2 years ago I was
watching
the show.
Do you think maybe that's part of, you know, sort of as we wrap up this subject, do you think that that's sort of part of the let down, the whatever, is, like, that we also waited? We got only six episodes, right. And then it's done again. It's almost like we broke one of the gene rules. We resurrected somebody, right. And then it wasn't enough, or it wasn't...
Yeah. We didn't get it long enough. Yeah, I mean, like...
I think maybe if it would have been, like, a 10-episode series, mm-hmm. or something, we would have at least felt like we waited two years.
Yeah, well, I think
something.
There could have been also some, like... Because they made all of the episodes longer than they needed to be. And I don't know, you know, if I went into... Or not longer than they needed to be, but longer than they had been previously. They had been, like, you know...
Most were about an hour. This season, right, most of them landed at about an hour.
80 minutes.
Yeah.
80 minutes. So, yeah. You know, almost an hour and a half, where I feel like we actually... Not that I can foresee where breaks could have happened in those episodes, but I feel like we could have in fact gotten 8 or 10 episodes because there was that.
And I think
shot.
We would have been satisfied with that.
Yeah, I just feel like there could have been a little bit more stuff, you know, like, and this episode, or this season specifically, did feel like it was just for the fans. Like, it had stuck to a very specific, this is about the story, sorry if we kill everyone you love. But this episode, you know, this whole season felt like, well, we've got to give them something, and we're not really 100% sure how to wrap this hugely epic 10-year thing up into six episodes, you know, so we're gonna, you know, make it...
But they did as good as they could, I think.
They did, and there were some that were just beautiful, beautiful shots, and, you know, some beautiful costuming, some, you know, gorgeous, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah.
And some interesting plot lines to, mm-hmm. you know... The mm-hmm. mirror stuff. So if you are just tuning in, this is Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney. Mm-hmm. Today our guest is ourselves, mm-hmm. sort of talking about the last year and this last weekend. And so also on Monday, the start of this week, we got to go and mini golf.
We did.
At the Nelson. It's kind of been such a up and down and fantastical mm-hmm. weekend with everything that we've been talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us a little bit about the Nelson Art Course,
yes.
from your side.
So now that it's open, we can kind of go. So this is actually a project that we, I'm using the grand we when I say Alex really specifically, but we have actually been working on this project for 2 years.
Yeah, our sister company, A to Z Theatrical.
Mm-hmm. So... About 2 years ago, we were approached with the idea of, and I guess everybody knows that now because they did a call for artists. So there was a, you know, a community call for artists to design a single mini golf hole, if you will, based on pieces of art from within the Nelson Atkins. They actually started kind of the information portion of this that they knew they wanted to do this with, I believe it's another museum in maybe Minneapolis that had done something kind of similar. So they started off, you know, with the call for artists. They got, I think, 25 submissions and narrowed it down to 9 holes. And then Alex has actually worked directly with the artists, directly with the kind of mini golf experts. There was a team of people that mm-hmm. knew, that know all about mini golf that would come in pretty regularly, and then the team at the Nelson to fabricate these amazing holes of nine holes of mini golf on the lawn up on the terrace of the Nelson.
Which I think... we got to go and be one of the first, mm-hmm. like, 115 or whatever they got to play on that Monday. And what I loved most about it is, like, whenever you all really originally were talking about doing this golf course, I just couldn't figure out how it wouldn't be intrusive mm-hmm. on that lawn and that
right.
house. Like, I couldn't see it. I couldn't figure it out mm-hmm. in you guys' brains. And I was just like, how are they willing to lose that front lawn? You know,
right.
just... Well, the thing I imagined in my head was something
yeah.
beyond...
Honestly, even until we saw it, I totally imagined it completely.
But what
too.
I dig is that you can still stand at the bottom of the lawn and mm-hmm. it doesn't interfere.
Yeah, you have
with
no idea.
Anything.
Yeah, you have no idea that it's even really there.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't see it from the street.
Matt
you can't
and
see
I went,
many streets.
Matt and I went back after, because the party ended about 8 or whatever, and my husband and I are... losers in the best way. We love to go walk around. So we went and we looked at the walking wall, mm-hmm. and we really investigated, like, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I have, for some reason, become very interested mm-hmm. in this
Have
project.
You gotten to meet the artist yet, Andy?
No, but we saw him working on Saturday, last Saturday, when mm-hmm. he was literally moving things in a wheelbarrow, mm-hmm. like...
Yeah, he's amazing. Just because we've been there way too much.
Yeah.
Or we've been, you know, at the Nelson a lot. Alex was back yesterday, and so...
Casey is sort of the person, it's mm-hmm. a female who sort of really chaired this party.
Yeah, championed, for sure.
And what was kind of cool is I was able to sort of be an A to Z representative that night as mm-hmm. everyone stopped leaving, because those lines publicly sometimes are very blurred, mm-hmm. and I am just learned enough to be able to talk about that. So it was really kind of cool that to sort of be able to walk around and engage with people who didn't hadn't necessarily been working with me, but were just raving about A to Z and like mm-hmm. and just. And how appreciative I think A to Z was to be able to get to take on such a cool project. But anyway, sorry. So we walked back around. Tangents happen. Mm-hmm. We walked back around afterward, and so Matt and I wanted to see what it looked like at the very bottom of the lawn. Mm-hmm. Like, go all the way to the sidewalk, mm-hmm. almost to Thayer's Park or whatever. Mm-hmm. And what was so cool is we saw them turn off the lights, and then the entire mini golf disappeared. Mm-hmm. It was like it wasn't... there, and I know that's probably so people don't like go up and engage. Yeah, I mean, I understand those also, but I thought that that was also really cool and compared it full circle to like the Magic Kingdom mm-hmm. because I was just like, imagine if like the first time that you come to the Nelson, you mm-hmm. want that lawn photo, uh-huh. and there's like a mini golf,
big mini golf
right in the middle of it. And so, we started talking about that idea that there is still this picture perfect, like. Mm-hmm. Beautiful image, and yet there's a 9-hole golf course that is so smart and mm-hmm. individual and creative, and to be honest, kind of difficult in some of those holes are really difficult.
Yeah, and that's the part that this was actually the first time that I had when we had the like patrons play or whatever, the little cocktail party opening of it. This was the first time that I had seen it all like finished and powder coated and everything, you know, everything pretty, because we've been playing it for a while, testing everything at the shop and all of that, but it wasn't finished. Every time I've seen it, I think one of the one with the bells, I can't mm-hmm. remember what hole it is, maybe the eight, no, the
four,
six hole or something. The grass of it has been painted, you know, I mean, those sorts of things. But it's going to be amazing. It opens officially this weekend and runs through Labor Day.
And go and do it.
Yes,
like,
go.
You will probably see my booty out there because it's cool. And just because literally, you know, my friends, the Nelson is a public place. Mm-hmm. Like, you can go walk around while this, mm-hmm. like, you don't, it's not like private, like you are allowed to go and look at those holes, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. at any time. And I think the pricing was pretty good.
I think it's like $12 or something like that. I mean, it's, you know,
but it's art and it's special and it's going to really, I think, bring people there. We were talking about just how cool that's going to be whenever Shakespeare in the Park's happening next door. Mm-hmm. And there's just going to be this moment where there hopefully will be people from all over the city just descending on that area.
We should have somebody from Shakes on. I think it's very interesting on that transition note. Uh-huh. What do you think about the fact that Shakespeare is not doing Shakespeare this year?
I have interesting opinions about mm-hmm. that I have yet to figure out. What a passive
I've gotten a little bit of insight, if you want. And then I don't think it's like
that
inside,
set
like,
design is incredible.
Yeah.
I love what he's doing with that area. I happen to love the movie Shakespeare in Love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wouldn't put it like in my top 10, but sure. I definitely enjoy it. And I love that Judi Dench won an Academy Award for mm-hmm. literally 8.5 seconds playing the Queen.
Sure.
Because she was, mm-hmm. Judi Dench is the dame, mm-hmm. if
she
you
is.
Will.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it is perhaps a very smart way to bring people to that park,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and because I do believe that there has been a stigma, and I don't know if I agree with this, so please don't quote me, but a stigma that sometimes the Shakespeare Festival repeats very often,
mm-hmm.
their shows, so if, unless you, like, love Shakespeare,
mm-hmm.
You sometimes don't get a lot of new work, like, all the time.
Sure.
So I think that bringing Shakespeare in Love to the Shakespeare Park this summer, I'm hoping, is going to be a nice tie-in to where maybe if you're at the golf course, you'll want to go over there, and it was going to make Shakespeare more attainable.
I think so.
For
I
people. Think, yeah. And the movie is, you know, pretty sure. recognizable in the plot lines uh-huh. that they do in it. You sure. know, they're...
Sure.
What are your
I
opinions?
Did not write. Well, in my head, I was almost completely and totally unaware that Shakespeare in Love had been, was in fact a play, that it was not like a film adaptation. I mean, obviously somebody adapted it, but it is the most regionally produced show in the last 5 years. And I'm just like, that is insane to me. Yeah. I've never heard of anyone doing it.
Well, I think that the script, you know, I've never mm-hmm. seen the stage show, but yeah. I think that the script is very interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I guess I was also unaware because of, probably mostly because of the fact that that I don't shelter my children from much of anything at all. That
as your child was right. walking with the sisters at
right,
the
exactly. women's mm-hmm. yes that Shakespeare has like Heart of America Shakespeare Festival has like what is family friendly guidelines, and that's why they have to possibly repeat so much Shakespeare, because there's only so much that's mm-hmm. not like, you know, a bloody mess, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I just, it would never occur to me to be like, I can't take my kids to that. It's Shakespeare, people. Like,
everyone dies.
Right. I mean, hello. That's where Game of Thrones got their theme, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's just, that's just weird for me that, like, I would, like, not want to take my kids to that. So I was unaware of that aspect of it. And so I think this is a great way for them to keep it family friendly.
Yeah.
That's still relevant. Bring in new audiences, because perhaps, you know, there's, I mean, Shakespeare's been dead for a really long time.
Yes.
Theater people, in fact, respect Shakespeare in a way that I think the general public might not, but,
We have been told to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have been told to. Yes.
I was told to go, that if I'm going to, well, if I'm going to appreciate, you know, the Greeks, and if I'm mm-hmm. going to appreciate all of these things, you
right.
have to understand that perhaps Shakespeare is our insight to what those courts and things looked
sure.
like in that time, because there's not a lot of plays besides Shakespeare really written about like that time
period, right?
You know, and in such like a way that I definitely think that that's something that I was taught in school is it.
Well, it's our history. I mean, it's you know,
yeah.
as theater people, it's our history. I mean, it, you know, everybody knows the Globe. Like that's, you know, I mean, that everybody has their Shakespearean role that they
and whenever
play.
You really,
everybody has
you
their.
Know, when you dissect it, it's the way that those, because they were putting up a show like every 2 weeks,
sure.
you know, and they
mm-hmm.
talk about that, and that's why there's repeating scenes in
mm-hmm.
different shows, because mm-hmm. no one person usually had the full script, because you're just given your
right, your part,
your
yeah.
five pages, mm-hmm. and
yeah.
so that's why
well,
whenever
it's also,
they put it all back together, it's sometimes aloof and missing. And
sure, mm-hmm. yeah, but it's also everyone who has ever been in theater has done Shakespeare at some point, even if you've not done it well or you aren't like a Shakespearean artist, because it's all royalty free.
Yes.
And quite frankly, that's how you do cheap theater, is you pick something
week,
that doesn't have rights. You know?
Next week, you know, I'll be talking about a little plug about how
mm-hmm.
I'm doing a drunk
Shakespeare
mm-hmm. up in St. Joe. I will be playing, I can't believe I'm saying this word in a theater, but Macbeth,
mm-hmm.
Toy, up there. And we've had about a 1.5 rehearsals, and
mm-hmm.
we are going to put up Macbeth in an 1.5 condensed version next Friday. So
mm-hmm.
I'll have information.
While drinking. Mm-hmm.
So I'll have information about that next week, as well as I want to talk to you guys a little bit about this drag survivor thing that I'm going to
mm-hmm.
be a part
yes,
of.
Because you've been officially
I've
announced, right?
officially mm-hmm. been announced as a judge for Drag Survivor. So that takes place at Hamburger Mary's.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a 13-week adventure.
Yes. We actually have a very, very busy next week. So while we wrap up, let's plug all of the things we have next
right.
week. So.
But I also was going to say, tonight...
Uh-huh.
Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, the Barn Players' third show of their second year here
mm-hmm.
at the Arts Asylum opens this evening, and it is their mid-season play,
mm-hmm.
so that is something that is also just so fascinating, too, when
mm-hmm.
you look at the theater world, that we're already almost halfway done with the Barn
yeah.
season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we're
mm-hmm.
halfway through the year, that makes
mm-hmm.
sense.
Mm-hmm.
So that opens this evening, and there are performances Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Thursday, Friday, of this week and next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Thursday, Friday, Saturday shows at 7:30. Sunday shows are at 2. It's Memorial Day weekend. I know a lot of you guys are probably out doing fun stuff, but also remember that theater is a fun thing to do as well.
It's true, yes, it's beautiful.
I'm really actually excited to see what Jessica Franz did with this show.
Yeah, I love Jessica.
I do. I was hoping to get her on the show, and I might still get her on, even if I can't, because of Curious. Just because schedules are super
crazy,
tight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe next week we can get her on. So we have, let's see, so Curious Incident opens tonight. This weekend is Memorial Day weekend. Be safe.
Want to see Buddy Holly this weekend at New Theater to support a couple of my friends. I've got Sasha Case. She is in that show. And then the Colville brother and sister, Courtney and Ken, are both in there. So there's a lot of great things. I think our...
like Zach Stevenson, right?
Yeah. Okay. And I think one of our other producing partners, Damron Armstrong, who is the artistic director of the Black Rep KC, is, I believe, returning to that show. So if you can get a ticket to Buddy Holly, which I don't think you can, check it out.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Monday is Memorial Day. There'll be, Celebration at the Station is this weekend, assuming
that's
we don't
Sunday,
get
right?
rained out. Uh-huh. Hopefully that does not happen. I know Illuminated Waters was supposed to take place tomorrow and Saturday, but they have canceled. So and just rescheduled to the 21st of July, I believe, for the big picnic. They'll be performing then. Tuesday, Ride KC kicks off an amazing month of June for Pride Month as we enter June.
For all you theater listeners out there.
Right. And they're going to be wrapping a streetcar. It has to be good. They're going to be wrapping a streetcar and a bus and a number of the bikes within within the metro area will become Pride KC as opposed to Ride KC for the month of June. Next weekend is Pride.
Yeah, but we're really excited because our artists, some of our balloon artists in the building will be down there. Mm-hmm.
They're going to do a full fashion show on Tuesday for the kickoff. We will be there. On Thursday, Curious returns. Friday, we have the Team Impact kids from Crossroads Charter Schools that will be doing a performance on Friday and Saturday. Of a piece that they have written, an original work on the
topic
of
teen suicide.
And
you've sort of been working with them this last kind of week, and I'm really kind of excited to
it's going
to
be pretty awesome. I'm pretty excited.
And that's Pride is next weekend.
Yeah, Pride is next weekend.
Down at Riverfront Park. Mm-hmm. That should be a party down there.
You've got Drag Survivor on Thursday.
Drag Survivor. Drunk Shakespeare
Drunk
on Friday.
Friday. So we'll be down, the sisters will be down on Sunday. Little sister Queen Shabbat of Ding Dong. Or Isabel, as I most often call her, will be doing her Pride project on Sunday at the park. They're bringing back the parade. It'll just be in the park for this next year, but I know that they are seeking committee members to bring it back onto the streets.
So if you're interested, reach out to us at CouchCast.
I believe it's just parade@kcpride.org, I think. And we're getting ready. And then next weekend is officially our 7-year anniversary, is that right? At the Elks Asylum.
Man.
We opened on June 2nd, 2012. So, 7 years.
Yeah.
So, it's, it's pretty exciting.
And then we'll start to talk about, we've got Theater in the Park shows coming. Mm-hmm. We've got the French Festival.
Casey Strips will be the next weekend.
Like, I always say that summer is when it starts to happen. Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm like, what did I do this week? And there, I do have some weeks where I do something literally every damn day.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So that's pretty exciting. I got ordained over the last few weeks.
That's true. Reverend Corey Jones.
Reverend Corey here. So I would love to marry you after I marry our friends Callie and Danny. I have promised them that since they asked me to marry them, and that is the reason I became ordained, they will be my first. But after that, I would love to chat with you if you are in need of someone who just wants to spread love and make sure that love is love, because that's what we need in this world.
That's right.
As we sort of wrap up, I think Courtney had maybe one or two questions that she maybe wanted
to
ask.
Oh, yeah, we're
going
to go over new questions.
Yeah,
that's
just
true.
Maybe one or two, and then we'll wrap this episode up, and it's really kind of fun to be starting season two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I actually probably know the answer to this one, but we have never asked anybody what their favorite childhood toy was. Have we asked anybody that? We got like a new list of questions that we want to try and integrate into season two.
That is really kind of fun because, and this is kind of loser.com for a second, my favorite childhood toy for a very long time was a jar full of beans because I used to love to like sort them and play with them and like the tactileness of it was like, I love to like touch it and move it around.
I would have lost money on that Bang Buddy Bear.
Well, right. Well, but he's still.
He's not a toy.
He's not a toy, and he still exists in my bed.
It's true. He's
in
not
my
just
bed. But yeah, but I, the constant, and it is still to this day, is Legos. I play with Legos all the time. So much that my husband and I make jokes about we need to buy another home just to put up our Disney Legos and things. What is your favorite childhood toy?
You know, I had, like,
I can't believe I said a bag of beans. But that's the truth.
This little, like, it was like a little, like, you sit on it, kind of bike, but no pedals kind of situation. Like a little scoot toy, you know what I'm saying? But it was a shoe. It was a pink shoe.
Yeah.
And you, like, sat in the you know, where you'd put your foot in, but that's where you put your butt. And I really loved that toy.
I still play with toys. I have toys
around me. I have toys now that, you know, my kids play with. So, yeah.
Which planet in the solar system would you want to visit?
You know, that's an interesting question. I suppose that no laws of, you know, like physics or space or anything actually apply. Okay, so I want to run around the rings of Saturn.
Sure.
Like a track.
Yeah, totally. I am still pretty honest in the fact that I'm not sure if I'm not like 50 or 60, and if they say that they'll take that spaceship to Mars, I won't be, knowing that I would never come back, but the potential that I could be the first colonizing part of something like that. And then of course I already have my mission statement ready that they're going to need the arts. So let me have the arts asylum. We couldn't get an Annex 1 in the United States, but we've got one on Mars, a safe place to be, you know. I mean, I feel like it's very tangible to do that. But
That movie where they go to Mars with the Arnold Schwarzenegger? That Total Recall?
I'm going to have to trust you on that one.
Okay. There's a woman with three boobs, and for some reason that's what I picture when I picture people.
Is that what you want? You want to go there so you can get like your third breast?
Yeah, I can't. I'm going to need to figure out what that movie is. Who knows?
I love that.
All right, well, we're going to end on a Corey note. What's the best thing that happened to you this week?
The best thing that happened to me this week? This week being today's Thursday?
Yeah, so from last Thursday to Thursday.
Yeah. Wow. That is really, that's really good.
Your whole week's, we can do both pows and wows.
I ended up having a really nice time at my friend Kate's house on Saturday night. I got to meet her whenever we worked at Solpata together, which was a jewelry company. And that was sort of kind of, because everything else seemed almost work-related. Like, in some way that there's sometimes that I feel like the most obscure, weirdest, simplest thing is sometimes my favorite part. And I do think that, sitting at Kate's house, knowing that, like, she didn't know anything about my life. She wasn't asking me questions about my business or anything. And I sort of really enjoyed that. What was your best part of the last 7 days?
I think the march.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just didn't know how to feel that day in multiple ways.
I think I felt all the things that day, which is why it was probably the best. I knew it was the happiest, but it was the best, I think.
I didn't feel like I had a voice there in the best way. I thought just my presence was enough for that day in some ways. We were walking, I don't know if you saw that, the little lady that Sarah was talking to or whatever. And she just came up to me and she was just like, thank you for walking. And I'm just like, well, of course, you know? And I think that's so interesting because I talked to you sort of about that last week. I was just like, listen, I am obviously pro you, you know, I'm pro woman. I'm pro you. I'm pro make your own decisions and stay out of everything. So I just was like, I already scream at my local government. I already am a safe place for people to talk to. Like, I don't know what more I can do, but besides just be like, you're not alone.
Yeah. Well, and how difficult it is for people of her generation, because I would guess that woman was probably in her 70s, mm-hmm. if not perhaps older. Imagine still having to walk for this.
That's
like
what
people
she was
who've been walking for so long.
Did you hear that she said that? She was just like, my feet have hurt for 50 years.
I mean,
because
just,
all I'm
insane.
Doing is walking.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, it's exhausting for me, and I haven't been doing it my whole life, you know, my whole adult life. And I guess I have, but I mean, you know.
I mean,
it's
I
just,
feel like I've been on 4 walks with you or something.
Well, yes, we've done a significant amount of walking since November of 2016, that's for sure.
But I'm saying, like, I've been to a trans march with mm-hmm. you. I've been, like, I feel like there's...
Did you come to the women's march with me?
I didn't. I was
no.
in...
Oh, you were in Disney, right?
I think I was in Disney... women's march was after...
No, you were on the cruise.
I was.
Yeah.
I was literally not in the United States of America when President Trump took office.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so I was...
And I didn't know
so
that I was
going
to be able to get back.
Ghost Light or... Mm-hmm. Or the women's
but
march.
But I did one... I've done a couple of that were down at Barney Ellis, though. Mm-hmm. I don't know... Mm-hmm. I think those were more rallies, not...
Sure, yeah. The women's march wasn't really a march either. It was a rally as well. And you weren't... We did March for Our Lives. You did the school walkout with me, but... Yeah, it's, you know.
But I feel like, you know, being seen is a very important part, too. I think that mm-hmm. watching 4,000 people walk down through the plaza.
Oh, my God. Because we shut it down.
We did. And to say, you know, we're here and we've got an opinion. I mean, whenever you're in that group of like-minded people, you kind of, mm-hmm. it kind of brings you, or it brought me, happiness, but also, like, confusion because I thought, like, what if this is the only 4,000 people in the city
right.
who agree with it? Like, there are people in my own personal life who aren't there, and I have since sort of questioned mm-hmm. where they might actually land on that issue.
I assume that they were not also with us on written on my arms, the people you're questioning.
Yeah. It just, I thought that, I just wonder sometimes the silence... If that is on accidental or on mm-hmm. purpose.
Yeah, or if they're just not, I mean, that's the thing.
Or there are people who didn't even know the march existed, so that's the next mm-hmm. level down that I was, right. I felt like, how did 5,000 people hear about it?
Well,
but...
The patriarchy's strong, man. There's, you know, I mean, as...
And if social media is really our strongest way of getting stuff around, there mm-hmm. are just some people who don't
do that.
Who just don't mm-hmm. do it.
Yeah.
And algorithms suck. Mm-hmm. Not to end on a negative note, but what's sort of like your pal, though? What's something that you're looking forward to, like, flipping or has challenged you that you've overcome?
Well, I think that it's one and the same. I think the fact that we had to march is my pal. I mean, you know, you were here watching. Friday was a hard day. It had not, because I am over-informed, and some may say a masochist, I just spent the entirety of my day literally watching the House floor. I don't think I accomplished anything at all, and I just sobbed all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that gave me fuel to march, you know, on Sunday. I think it was the reason I was able to. I think that had, like, I was just as saddened by watching Ohio and Georgia and, you know, all of the other states who have followed suit or who we followed suit of. Passed these ridiculous laws, but they somehow weren't because I know so many of the people who were actually standing on Missouri House floor and could watch, you know, Greg speak for us and Judy speak for us. I mean, Judy lives on my block, so
I love Greg so much.
You know, Ian Mackey from St. Louis. You know, there were some really powerful things said and done on our behalf or on quote unquote our side's behalf that were. Hopeful, but then at the same time, it was all for, you know, I don't want to say all for nothing because I don't think it was all for nothing. I think they were doing their jobs in standing up for their constituents, and not just their own personal beliefs, but, it was a rough day Friday, probably the roughest since watching the Kavanaugh hearings, but for some reason, you know, I feel like I have to do them because I want to be part of the process and know what's
going
on.
And I want to be informed. I want to know mm-hmm. what the other side is saying, and I am still... the devil's advocate that says, if they say something that's right, I want to hear it and be mm-hmm. able to say, look, it's not a blind sweep that I don't support
right.
these people.
Well, it's, you know, right, exactly.
I mean, I'm not one of those people that just blindly just is like, oh, mm-hmm. well, you're a Republican, I hate you.
Right, yeah,
no,
exactly.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
that's just not in my nature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I have to be like, okay, which parts of it do we agree on? Because maybe, who knows if that could mm-hmm. be the secret down the line that someone's just mm-hmm. like, right. But, mm-hmm. and then that's the click over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It was tough. You know, I have some friends going through a really crazy time in their life right now, and mm-hmm. I'm part of that navigation of that. And so this whole sort of past week has been a up and down of like happy emotions and walks and mm-hmm. theater and life, and then also like realizing how much sort of escapism mm-hmm. takes place in my own life, because sometimes by the time I get back home, I'm just like, oh,
yeah,
like life is goofy. mm-hmm. Whenever I finally like settle down, and it just really reminds me of how fortunate and lucky I am to have these incredible experiences I get to do every day.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sitting around thinking about the negative stuff sometimes.
Nope.
Even marching, I felt good mm-hmm. about marching. I hated why I had to march.
Right.
But I would march even if things were going well, just to be like, no, I still think that women can do whatever the hell they want with their bodies. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
So yeah, so on that note, we will wrap up. Again, this was Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney, where we kind of interview our people and our friends and get a little insight about what's going on in their brains.
Mm-hmm.
Tune in next week for the second episode of season 2. We have not officially confirmed who the guest is yet.
Not yet.
So once we have that, we will get them on. Maybe it will have to do with Pride KC. Mm-hmm. Maybe it will have to do with Curious Intimate.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe even Drag Race.
Maybe.
You never know mm-hmm. in this world. So tune in. Find us on iTunes if you don't listen to us on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be back next week.
Yep. Sounds good.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye.
And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Couch Chats is available locally on KOJH 104.7 and also on iTunes. Remember, that's Couch with a K. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this episode are solely those of Couch Chats, not the Arts Asylum, KOJH, or Mutual Musicians Foundation. Thanks again for listening, and please remember to rate, review, and subscribe, as well as follow us on Instagram. Tune in next week to see who we have on the couch.